This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here, and thanks for listening and opening yourself up to new ideas and inspiration for your business. Hey, if you missed our previous episodes on the Entrepreneurial Operating System with Barry Barrett, head to the collections page on my website, remarkableresults.biz, and find them all there. These episodes were favorites of my listeners. My panel, they're back to discuss the EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, and their annual two-day meeting. Now, if you're longing to create leaders throughout your company, please follow every episode that we've done on EOS so you can appreciate the strategy, systems, and processes of EOS. My shop owner panel has never been so excited and rewarded for having implemented the EOS model, and they discuss their two-day annual meeting with their leadership teams and the powerful team and leadership building that was a result from their two-day annual. This episode gives you a glimpse of what is to come for you if you get on board with EOS. Hey, thanks to our partner Napa for providing this episode. You know, it's no secret we're facing a technician shortage. Napa Auto Care is addressing that. The free two-year apprentice program offers a variety of training to produce a technician with three ASE certifications. To learn more, members can visit member.napaautocare.com. Hey everyone, Carm Capriotto is so totally honored to have my EOS panel back. Barry Barrett, EOS certified implementer. Hey Barry.
Hey Carm, how's it going?
Barry and I did a seven-part series on EOS, and Barry, I have to tell you, it's really gotten a lot of legs, which is why you guys are back, because of we're going to do this part two, the two-day panel. I put it on a special collection on the website. All seven episodes are there. How EOS helps owners, EOS vision, EOS people, data issues process, and then number seven was EOS traction. And that's the one that's really got a lot of listens. Not that the other ones didn't, but it was great. And then there was so much going on, and all the great things Barry has shared with me, I said, let's bring a panel that's really implemented EOS. And that has gotten an awful lot of listens. And Carl, Justin, AJ were here for that. Carl Hutchinson from Hutchinson's Complete Automotive, Springfield, Missouri. AJ Neely, Neely's Auto Service, Edgewater, Maryland. And Justin Barrett, Barrett's Automotive, Cornelia, Georgia. Somebody did a two-dayer. Was it you, Justin? Who did the... Carl, you did the two-dayer. Or did you all do the two-dayer?
I've been through it a couple of times now.
And Carl, I know that the reaction that happens with your people in bringing them together for 2 days, did you tell me it was a love fest?
I don't know. I think that was somebody else's words.
Oh, okay.
I think for us, it was very eye-opening. The only thing I can say was their dreams were bigger than my dreams, and I thought my dreams were pretty big. I think that's one of the big things that came out of our first two-day annual was, holy cow, their vision was bigger than my vision. And when I say they, meaning the leadership team.
Barry, when you hear something like that, does that make you super proud?
I experienced it, right? So even more, like, and Carl just went to his second two-day annual. Yeah, his first one, they outdid him by a couple $100,000 and they eclipsed it. It's like when you play poker, I'm not a big poker player, but when they raise your ante, right? And you're like, well, I'm all in. And that's basically what we experienced, right, Carl? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, can we really do it? And then they beat what they raised it by 200,000. They raised it 200,000 and they beat that.
Right.
So they basically outran Carl by $400,000.
Yeah. And not only that, but with a whole bunch of adversities thrown in there. I mean, this past year has been quite a challenge for us going through the expansion and going through just people learning roles and changing out people. And of course, the year end was kind of a different story for us, but still through all of that, they still did it. And it's like, wow, it's just, there's no way that we could have done this by myself. No way.
The thing about EOS and what he just said in the experience, like when I hear it, yeah, it feels good. But when you experience it, you're in the room with them. It's different. You're with them. I mean, I'm on their leadership team. That's the way I feel. It's we. I never say it's you. I'm like, it's us. It's we. And so what happened is Carl's talking about is EOS really does, you can't hide. You learn who the right people in the right seat is, and you can hear, well, we had a lot going through. Well, that's the design of the system, and these guys have done it really well because they're open and honest, and it's not me. They're making the decisions. I'm facilitating, teaching them the tools, and then they take those tools and they make decisions on their own. Once all that upheaval comes that is like, you have to go because you're the wrong person, then you also have a system that helps you through that with the level 10 meetings and the identify, discussing, and solving of issues. And you get a approach every week to, you know, everybody come together and have a new plan based on the things that are happening. So Carl had a lot going through. Justin had a lot going through. AJ just went through his first 2-day annual. It went fantastically wonderful. So it was a lot. Yeah.
Barry, were you at all of them?
Yeah, I'm always there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm there until they no longer need me. So what I do is I come in and teach them EOS. It takes about 2 years for most people. Some people keep me around forever, like an old dog, you know. They like me running their meetings, like Justin, yep, raising his hand. They can probably just run the meeting themselves. But if you're running the meeting, you can't really, it's hard to participate in it. Right. So a lot of people just have me come in. They know what I'm going to say. They know what I'm going to do because it's the same system. It works because they're making the decisions. You know, I really keep my own automotive expert hat most of the time. I think I do a decent job of it. They can tell you if I do or not, but out of the way and just say, what do you want? What do you think? It's about you, not me. I'm just coming in facilitating the simple practical tools and disciplines. When they're ready to graduate, they graduate from me. They don't graduate from EOS. What they're saying is, hey, we've learned everything we need from you. You're going to go help other people. We're going to run on our own. And I'm like, call me if you need me. So after they graduate, they no longer need me. I'm not there.
Carl, Justin, AJ, do you feel that the engagement that Barry continues to have with you, do you think that you'll graduate him out? Or like Barry said, it's so nice to have him, not as a crutch, but as a super support individual, kind of a ladder that you can climb. Would you think you'll ever let the dog go?
Someday it will happen, right? You know, it's you're going to have, what, 3 quarterly meeting pulses a year. You're going to have the 1 2-day annual. And I think if you're going to kind of wean off of Barry, it would probably be best if you just take control of those quarterly meeting pulses. And then you say you bring Barry in there to kind of be that facilitator for that 2-day annual, right? Set the tone, set the theme for the entire year. Make sure you all are identifying those issues that's just going to just propel you into the next year. So that's probably the route that we're going to take over time. You know, we do know that we're probably going to invest a good 2 years in on this for all those meeting pulses. And, you know, we've done 2 meeting pulses already, and we're going to continue that. But as we do it also too, at the same time, our leadership team, Barry says it too, in his words, they're babies, you know, they've never been in a leadership position before. So this is very new to them. But as they grow in say this 2-year process, they're going to be very confident in their roles and responsibilities and be able to take charge and know what to do in those quarterly meetings. So I feel pretty confident in the team that we have in place that we can start to wean him off, you know, like I said, after a couple of years.
Yeah. And look, that is the design. Like, I want my clients to graduate. You shouldn't need me for more than that. I am not a consultant. For instance, AJ, Devin is an absolute star in the making. And what I love about Devin is he's such a sponge for learning. He's young and he's got ideas and he's the future. And so he's learning this system. And once he has this system, man, he has the tools and stuff. He doesn't need me. What does he need me for? What do I know?
Yeah, it's exciting. All of us should take a step back for a minute because we're all in EOS. So we're so ingrained that we're probably speaking language and acronyms that no one outside else listening to this podcast have any idea what we're talking about. So I think it makes sense that we take a little bit of a step back to address what we're discussing.
Right.
Read the book Traction. That's step one. Listen to the 7-part series. Understand what we're talking about as far as this EOS playbook. The biggest tool, I think, are these quarterly meetings. But of those quarterly meetings, the most important is this 2-day annual. Ideally, you want to have this right around the beginning of the year. It's with your leadership team. It's offsite. It's 2 days, right? So you should be traveling at least an hour away somewhere. it's not all business either. It's really a lot of trust building. It's a lot of development, human connection, getting a chance to just connect your leadership team at a human level outside of work, because you're doing activities together. You're also having dinners together. You're giving your a chance to bond, and also with your leadership partners or spouses, they're also involved as well. So I think we just need, again, we just kind of need to take a step back here somewhat towards the beginning of this to understand this is what we're talking about, the 2-day annual specifically. If I could just say, one of the biggest takeaways from that was the trust builders exercise that we had inside that. That's where you become the family unit. It's the quintessence, right? It's developing that culture. It can't be explained, right? And you just have to experience it and to see it, to believe it.
I'm speechless. I continue to think about the top performers in our industry and how much they can use this to even get better. But I also think about the guys that are out there struggling, that are listening to this. They probably switched it off. They said, whoa, wait a minute, this is an MBA doctorate degree. I'm not even there. But frankly, read the book Traction and reinvent yourself and realize that there's a completely smarter and better way to run your business, to create leaders, to find the right people in the right seats. Half the battle, Barry, I do believe, is the right person in the right seat in almost every one of our businesses.
Oh, 100%. I'll say in Carl's case, Tori, young lady, when I first showed up, I'm sure she was like, holy cow, who the heck is this dude? You know, 100 miles an hour. And I watched her in her second 2-day annual, and she was just like old hat. She's like, this Barry dude, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, she was not even close to intimidated. She was pushing back. Like, she's a leader and she's 26 or something. You know what I mean? I'm like, what? It's just this 2-year journey that she's been through, through all the turmoil and things like that. She's just handling it.
Carl, help me understand the frustration that I think Barry just described to me. She's still there, and she has apparently just blossomed.
Yeah. What I think most people have to understand, especially those that are listening to this, is we are not necessarily business people. I mean, most of us grew up out of the technician kind of thing. You know, maybe we went to trade school. Maybe we got some college, but we didn't go to business school. We didn't start out with business first. It was product first. So you take a bunch of people that are not business people and you throw them into a business arena, and nobody knows what the heck we're doing. Me included. I was probably the scaredest one of the bunch. But you're asking your salespeople and your production people and all these people to do something that they've never heard of it, much less know what the heck you're talking about. But you can see in them that they can do it. I hate to say we're on our second leadership team. Myself and Tori are the only two left out of the original group. We were all scared to death. I'll be the first to tell you, people melt down. I mean, it happened to us. But for her, she was 24 years old when I tapped her for this. And she was scared to death. And when we were throwing out millions of dollars, I'll tell people, we got a 10-year goal of $10 million, which for somebody that just barely done over $1 million just a couple of years ago in sales, to have a $10 million goal for 1 year, it was unheard of. And then, you know, a $3 million goal for 3 years, it's like, holy cow, how do we get there? I mean, it was just, I think she left that crying, maybe. I'm not, there was tears.
Oh, 100%.
I'm not sure how many of us cried, but a few of us cried.
Oh, 100%. I remember. But, I'm like, oh, I'm about to get fired or something here.
Right. But really, I mean, like you said, 2 years later, she's taken command, and it's just like, what do you mean we're just doing $10 million? What do you mean we're just, I mean, it's just that kind of mindset. And that's why I said, your people will dream bigger than you. She just grasped hold of the dream. And honestly, to go back to Carm's question about will we ever fire Barry? Well, I don't know. At some point, but our 2-day annual was reteaching. We had a whole new leadership group. So we had to go back to zero and start all over again. And
Carl,
it was great.
It sounds like we've had a lot of the same stories.
I think we're on the same parallel, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, we're a little over 2 years in. You know, we're on leadership team probably 8.0 at this point.
That's the way it goes.
You know, we find people that, you know, we think would be great in a leadership position. And I still think everyone that we have you know, give the opportunity would have been, you know, it's just the GWC part. They found out that, hey, this wasn't me. And we moved some of those people out of the company. And some of those people are still in the company. They're just not in a leadership position. And they're okay with that. They said, hey, I just want to go back. I don't want to have no responsibilities. I just want to go back and work. That's well, that's fine. We just got to find someone to do that spot then.
That person that was on leadership team that goes back out of leadership but still is in your company is a fabulous person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We've got one, and it's fabulous because I can go to that person and say, this is what's going on. I know you know how to deal with this, and you know what to expect. I can't tell you everything. They say, yeah, I get it. You don't have to explain anymore. They get it. Yeah. And it's like, oh, wow. Like that wall there.
The really cool thing here is that EOS gives them the tools to treat people with dignity and respect, to go back to doing what they were doing and not feel any shame about it and saying, right. Leadership, I thought it was for me. It's not. Justin brought his team. It's two new leaders. They stepped up. They get it. They want it. But they don't yet have the capacity as far as all the tools and training. Like, that's what we're going to work on here. But I can deal with that. The good thing about these guys that are doing this is they are humble leaders, and they are not tied to their own ego. Me and Justin joke a little bit, but the guy is a humble guy. He and I were Barrett, so we battle back and forth on that. But let me tell you, he's handled this well, and he gives people opportunities. And but here's the thing. You think it's about, a lot of people think it's about automotive repair. I have 24 active clients, and only 5 of them are automotive repair. So here's the statistics. And it's this way with all EOS implementers, including Gino Wickman himself. 85% of the companies that are starting with EOS, they have a leadership team. They start. 85% have a different leadership by year one. That's what it does. It puts you through the process, and it's not always pretty, but it spits out this leadership team. And it's just a normal thing. And I tell them, it's normal. Here we go.
So it defines leadership as a role, and not everyone's cut for that.
Including the owner. And I'm going to tell you, just because you get it one, you may not have the capacity to do it, even though that you're the owner.
Hey, Carm here. Now, are you able to implement EOS yourself? Well, we cover that and more coming up. Hey, it's Carm here to tell you about the best shop management solution for your auto care center, Trax Enterprise. Now, since NAPA introduced Trax in 1989, it's been the industry's leading shop management system out there. Today, Trax Enterprise offers even more of the features auto care center owners want. Things like a powerful interactive scheduling calendar, faster and streamlined workflow, multi-shop capabilities, easy pay consumer financing integration, and more. That means you can count on Trax Enterprise to help drive your success today and well into the future. The tabbed interface lets you open and view multiple estimates, ROs, invoices, and purchase orders all at the same time. You can even place windows side by side, over or under, or drag a tab from another application outside Trax to open another window. One auto care center owner said he loves being able to have 10 to 12 work orders open at once. Enterprise also offers a Microsoft Outlook-type calendar, so you can view daily, weekly, and monthly schedules, drag and drop appointments between days and times, and block time to indicate length of work. Punch out to Mitchell Pro Demand is another huge benefit. It provides embedded labor, part, maintenance, and fluid capacities that can be transferred to estimates and repair orders within Trax. Trax Enterprise also streamlines parts ordering. Just one click, and it's done. The mobile capture app sold another auto care owner on Trax Enterprise. He said there's no reason to write VINs by hand anymore. You can decode the VIN from a mobile device and send all the information directly to Trax. There are reporting features too. For example, with just a couple of clicks, you can find out how many repair orders you've written in a month. Talk to your Napa Auto Parts store and find out more about what Trax Enterprise can do for you, plus the hundreds of other great things the auto care program has to offer. What Barry has taught me about that is there's a visionary and there's the implementer. And Carl, if you were or weren't in the right role, doesn't mean that you weren't the right leader. Maybe you just weren't in the right job. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And also, it's you have to be held accountable just like you hold your salesperson accountable, your production person, whatever. Well, whatever role I'm in, I have to be accountable to that role. And if I'm not doing it, I guess the leadership team could fire me. I don't know. But if I want to continue owning this place, I've got to fix myself.
They may sit down with you and say, Carl, I know how hard you're working on us, but we need to talk to you about you.
I need to have a below the line meeting here. But no, that's true.
That's the true sign that you have a healthy organization. And this is something that you're going to struggle with your leadership team initially. Again, because most of, especially in our world in automotive industry, having a leadership team, what are you talking about? Like, right. I'm either a technician or I'm on the counter. Like there's right. never been a seat available that existed. So, right. So as a result, they're so new to this role that they have, especially when their boss that signed the check is in the room.
Right.
There's that apprehension to say no or to go against your decision or whatever it might be. And I've had to really stress that to that group that I did not bring you into this room to be yes men or women. I want you to challenge my ideas. I need you to challenge my ideas because I need you guys to see my blind spots. And I don't know how they exist if you don't object to an idea or something of that sort and just go along with what I say. So that's a process in itself. And so that's how you really get to that healthy organization, is getting them to have that confidence to bring up an issue to you. So, and that's happening. And that's what I want to see in my yeah. team. So I'm very happy for that.
You know, as an implementer, I can see the looks in the room that get overlooked a lot. And when I see that they disagree, but they don't want to say anything, especially the guy who signs the check, I call it out. I go, what's the look? And all three of these guys have seen it. Mm-hmm. And they also see how I talk to all three of these guys. And they're like, I think this guy's about to get fired because he told Carl to not speak.
I think sit out and shut up was the words.
Well, I have another client, and look, they got $1 billion company. I'm telling you, it's $1 billion company. And the CEO, he went to Stanford. He's got an MBA from Stanford. And he said, Barry, that's the nicest anybody's ever told me to shut up. And I'm like, you got to listen to your people, right? Like, that's the thing that you got to do. And so that it's so hard to speak. You know, we always say speak truth to power, you know, like it's a negative thing. These guys want this truth spoken to them. But so many employees have PTSD from other places, post-traumatic stress disorder, that they shoot the messenger. They're like, I ain't saying nothing. I got fired last time because I spoke up. Right. And then now the idea is like, that's what we're looking for.
AJ, it was you who said you had fun at the last 2 days.
Yeah, it was. It was a hoot. I also have to say, you know, going into it, there were some really difficult issues that I really wanted to bring up that was more on a personal side, but it just, I felt like it had to get out there. And it was like one of those things where like, I couldn't sleep. Really big elephant in the room that needed to be addressed. And, you know, I prayed on it too. And I talked to my wife, Stephanie, about it. I'm like, look, I feel like this is an opportunity to bring this up. It's sometimes too, this issue is so big that you may just want to bring that up on a one-on-one personally, but as a family unit that you're really starting to develop, especially at a 2-day annual, you know, you're in the nest, so to say, right? Yeah. So you're all in this together, and it needs to be brought up and addressed in front of the room, in front of everyone, because then everyone's going to be supporting that, right? So I don't need to get into details and specifics, but it was addressed and he took it so well, and he's on a path of just, you know, of just developing himself and getting better. And so it's like one of those massive reliefs that I hope that everyone in that room just had a massive weight off their shoulder, you know, going into that meeting, getting what may have been held back and was on their chest or really weighing on them, and being able to get it out into the open. And again, there's exercises and tools in the toolbox when you're doing this 2-day annual to bring this stuff up, right? And so there's that trust builders exercise, right? So you go around the room and you talk about like one amazing, you know, distinguishing trait about each person in the room, but also too, there's the other side of that coin as well. What is the one thing, you know, you need to be working on that is an opportunity, but it may feel very awkward to do that, especially when it's my turn, right? And they're all pointing out the things about me, you know, and so like, look, come on, just hit me with it, you know? So it's a very stress relieving environment. Get a lot of issues out, discuss them in the open, personal and professional. And that's just how you build that healthy organization. Again, it's like the five dysfunctions of a team, right? There's the absence of trust. You can never get and have any conflict whatsoever. So you're really just rooting out those dysfunctions. You're, like I said, you're connecting as a team, connecting as a family, and you're just, you're locked elbow to elbow together in this and just getting through the issues. And it's a game changer. I know that word gets used a lot, but it is.
Yeah. AJ makes me think, well, why in the heck does he need me? He's sitting there he's experienced it, right? Like, right. It's this, and he's talking about personal. We have a thing, we do personal histories, mm-hmm. and then we do a start stop. So they give you a one thing commitment. So one thing you need to start or stop doing this year for the greater good of the company. And a lot of times with these guys, it's I need you to stop. You know, I need you to start taking more time off, right, Carl? Like you need to start leaving us alone.
You're reading right from my script, aren't you?
I know. I was there, right? And so,
that's tough too.
Yeah. Justin, I mean, what do you think about that team health exercise?
I like it. It can be very eye-opening, but, you know, I got pretty tough skin, and I like people to be very direct with me. You know, I heard the word blind spot, I think it was AJ said, because you don't see your own blind spots, but the 10 people you have working with you every day do. And sometimes when you're the leader of the organization, they're not going to tell you that. But you're in that spot. Okay, tell me. This is the stuff that I need to hear so I know what to work on. So last year, my sarcasm was an issue that not just one person had. It was everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone said, you know, they want me to be more direct and less sarcastic. I was like, okay, well, I started being a little sarcastic because I thought I was too direct and I was trying to soften my blows a little bit, but that's not what they wanted. There was too much getting lost in translation. They couldn't tell when I was serious and when I wasn't. So it was very unhealthy. So that was something that I worked on last year. And this year, my one commitment was to delegate more to the leaders, you know, their roles and responsibilities, give them more responsibilities and let them do their job, you know, which I thought I'd been doing pretty well, but I think they wanted me to work on that a little bit more. So that's what we're going
to
do.
Honestly, Carm, how many people you talk to that have the problem that their people are like, you need to let me do more around here and you need to do less?
A true dream of many people, but they just don't know how to get about doing it. Self-awareness, I couldn't help but think about, you know, everybody, you know, if you will, saying a little confession about, you know, you and your life and listening to what your people know is right and or wrong with you as a leader. That ride home, AJ, is you know, and Carl and Justin's got to be really profound. It says, wow, I feel good, but I didn't know that.
It was quiet.
Yeah. I'll tell you the experience we had at our last 2-day. Of course, we come in with three new leaders for the second 2-day that we had. But one of them, a young man that's going to be one of our production leaders, I don't think anybody's ever really spoke to him what we really thought of him. I mean, we always give him the pat on the back and, you know, good job. And I mean, that kind of stuff. But man, when it come to that session, we were all in tears just because he was so emotional, and it was just so cool to see, because I don't think anybody had ever spoke to him that we valued him that much. And really it was true. It wasn't just a merit. It wasn't just a pat on the back. It was, we really loved him. I mean,
genuine.
And I don't know. I don't even think we made it all the way around the table before we were all crying. Yeah.
He was number two in the line.
Right.
He went second.
Right.
I've heard this quote and I love it. It's like the last standing ovation that most people get is at their high school graduation. Yeah. That's freaking sad, man.
Yeah.
And when you're a speaker, you get it quite a bit. Like, you're like, ah, here you go. It feels good. But this young man, like, he's an impressive guy, you know, to play off your podcast. He's remarkable, right? He's worthy, as Seth Godin would say, he's worthy of a remark. That's the best you can be, is remarkable, worthy of a remark. And so I'm like, man, I'm super impressed with this young man. He's telling me, like, I'm like, man, I want my son to be like this guy. I'm telling you, when he speaks, And then everybody went around and said, your most admirable trait is, and he just went, felt loved, right? Yeah. And now you can be open and honest with your commitment, your start stop, because you know that people love you and they're saying it because they love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I even changed those words. We started with your most admirable trait, and I couldn't say it. I says, the thing that I love about you most is.
Yeah.
And it just caught hold, and it just went around the room from there.
Yeah, that's good.
You got me in the deep end of the pool with you and into all the great stories you're telling and the transparency that you're bringing to this episode. And I know that there's a lot of talk from a lot of people about having read traction. And they may have read it and they may have said, wow, pretty heavy, kind of neat, take some notes, try to do this. Is implementing EOS after reading traction a DIY project? Could you ever imagine doing it without Barry?
No.
If you want to take it to the next level, there's people that unfortunately just take bits and pieces of it. Ooh, I like this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Now, you need the whole package. You're either all in 100% or not at all, right? I think it's great that it's a guide that can be used to help understand how a business can be structured, right? Because I've said this before in other podcasts. If you have a technician brain, like a lot of us do in this industry, you know how things go together. You can see a set of schematics or a diagram and like, oh, yeah, this makes sense, right? And when I read that book the first time, that just like, this is how you run a business. This is how the machine works, which is our business. This is the engine. This is the AC. These are the wheels. That's the brakes. Da da da. Put it all together. Those six key components. You implement the tools. That's how you run it off of. And what's great is it's not like, you know, those are AJ's rules. No. I'm just going to blame the tools in the toolbox. No, there's a tool for that. Here's a people analyzer. We're going to have a below the line meeting. Like, what are these terms? They're not mine. They're from the book. You know, they're from the
somebody else's mind.
Yeah, someone else's mind. I could just blame them. So you don't like it? You don't like the people analyzer? Don't blame me.
Talk to Gino.
Talk to Gino. Exactly.
That's who I blame every time. Talk to Gino. Yeah.
Honestly, I took three stabs at reading the book and I didn't make it halfway through the book because I think it's maybe the technician mind, because when I started reading the book, I wanted to implement everything. I wanted to just start chunking it off. And it's like, I don't know, I'm lost. And I threw it away a couple of times. And honestly, I don't know how anybody would do this without somebody guiding them through it. And the people that I've talked to since this last podcast went out, I've had several people call and talk, and I said, don't even try it on your own, because you're not going to do it. You're going to go in there with your ideas. It's not your idea. When it becomes a leadership team, it's a leadership team idea. It's not a your idea. All the stuff I went in with, I threw it in the trash. We started over because their plan was different than my plan. And it was much better, honestly. And they own it. They said it. They own it. I'm just a piece of it now. I tell everybody that I talk to, don't try to self-implement this. Get an implementer.
You need the shaman, you know, to help
yes.
you.
You need the guy that's going to get in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to thank all of you for the great contributions you've made to the podcast. And, you know, Carl, you're 613. When you just laid it all on the line, I was really a bad guy, you know.
And, is that still out there?
It's still, of course, there's 1,000 episodes out there. All of them, it's just, my wife didn't even like me. And Justin, you've come on and you've buried a lot of great things, and AJ and all your great contributions. When I was thinking about this episode today and coming into the studio, I said, I knew all of these guys before EOS and before MSO and multi-shop ownership. And so my question is, do you credit you putting the entrepreneurial operating system, this whole leadership culture in your place for allowing yourselves to get to store two and then beyond?
100%. Oh my goodness. Yeah, yes. This is why we invested so much in these tools and in the leadership team to getting that process started. That's foundational. That is your concrete 2-foot thick slab that you're going to build your skyscraper off of, right? Well, you probably need more concrete than that, but you get the point, right? So you need that solid foundation to grow from, right? And like, you know, again, back to all these tools, right? The people part of it, right? You know, when you have that vision established, when you have your core values, your core purpose, you can understand what the right person looks like and the right seat within your organization. So when you go on these massive hiring sprees or you're buying additional locations, and you know, we're learning mistakes along the way too, right? We just closed on our third location a couple weeks ago, so we've got that implemented. And sometimes too, there's that misalignment of core values from a business that you're buying, and there's a process where you're going to have to just work on developing the culture, you know, at another location. But anyway, if I didn't know what these tools were, I would be so lost. I wouldn't know where to start. So I can just go over my toolbox, open the drawer, grab the tool.
I'm not making this up. There's a merger and acquisitions fit. It's page 37 of your EOS toolbox.
Dang it.
So, I mean, there's a tool for everything. And I'll say something about Jeff. He was on our last meeting and he's out living his EOS life, so he couldn't make it today. But Jeff and Judy, don't leave out Judy, because Judy's the real brains and the real brawn behind it, like Jeff will tell you. I'll tell you, Zimmerman's, they're really one of the like shining examples to any company that I'd point to be like, these guys did it right. And their leadership team makes every decision. Jeff and Judy are gone for 30 days with no connection with them, on vacation, like zero. Last year they did 2 months, but they were back and forth communicating. This year they're like, we're taking 30 days and our leadership team has it and we don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. So those guys are shining example. Their 2-day annual, they did an axe throwing competition. Like it was so amazing to watch them operate and watch them grow and learn. And they're like, we don't hire anybody unless they pass core values. We don't care if they can turn 50, 60 hours a week. Doesn't matter. If they're not a core values fit, they don't exist.
They're going to Myrtle Beach, by the way, for 30 days.
Yeah.
I know this is a fact.
Yeah, it's good.
So the question was something about could you have a second shop or could you expand without EOS? And I don't think so, because I remember prior to EOS and it was like, well, what is your vision? I don't know. I mean, make some money and retire. I mean, I think that was the majority of people that were pre-planning. I don't think anybody ever really planned. We may have had goals for a year. We may even had some unwritten goals for 2 or 3 years or 10 years, but nothing solid. I mean, really nothing solid. EOS forces you to do that. I mean, you got to, I think you do that first.
You do. It's traction first, vision second. So you do traction. Well, what Carl was saying, he gets overwhelmed. And it's not because he's a technician, it's because he's human. Is you get overwhelmed halfway through the book because you're like, holy crap, man, this is just a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you're good at being an implementer, you come in, you teach the five foundational tools first in the focus day. So you get traction first. You start to build those habits, right? Everybody can vision. Yeah, I want to be rich. That's a vision. Mm-hmm. But most people aren't going to read a book, for one thing, on how to become wealthy. They don't study wealth. Like The Richest Man in Babylon, you read that. That's a really good book. You know, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. It doesn't say talk and grow rich. It says think and grow rich. I used to think it was talk and go rich. Now I'm like, oh, I should do some thinking. And then now I'm building some wealth. I'm like, oh, this is great. Think and grow rich. So what you have to do is you start with the traction first and get the muscles, build the muscles. Because if you won't do the traction component, it ain't going to work. I used to go around speaking around the country and people were like, man, I really just got fired up on your speech. And I was like, and then a year later, they'd be like, man, I loved your speech last year. And I'm like, hey, what'd you do about it? And like, not much. And I'm like, well, I got tired of that. Now I just work with people who are actually going to do it. So then 30 days later, we did the vision. And then 30 days later, we did Vision Day Building 2. And then we started quarterly. So we come in and we piece by piece put things together and then get that traction going, because that's the most neglected of the six key components. And so once that's done, after 2 years, man, it's just normal stuff. That's why I loved AJ when he said, all right, let's stop and bring this, because we're just throwing out these words. And I'm like, yeah, give them milk first and then meat. That's right. From an old ancient book.
Right.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of the episodes that we did, Barry, as you were dropping acronyms, if I recall, I stopped you and I said, explain that one. So yeah, you're 100% right. And until you're a disciple of EOS, will you have a clue what these guys are talking about? But there is no doubt that what I'm hearing about the two-day, what I'm hearing about the success that you guys have had, how it has accelerated you as a business person and a leader and your business as a whole wouldn't have ever been there.
Never. And you know, we talk about these acronyms and things, and honestly, the people that, you know, well, EOS, I mean, I had to go back and figure out what that was 6 months after we started this. So, but it turns into the complete automotive way. It turns into the Neely Automotive Way. It turns into the Barrett Automotive Way. It turns into your way. It doesn't matter that it was in Traction or EOS or who started. It really becomes you. It becomes your entity. And now it's that tool is in your toolbox that says Complete Automotive Way on it. That sales process now says Complete Automotive Way on it. That process for production becomes the Complete Automotive Way. So I think that's what I would like for people to get out of this is this is not somebody else's operating system. It's your operating system.
100%.
And it just happens to say EOS on it to start with. But you plug in whatever you want in it. I mean,
it's a frame you plug into.
Absolutely.
100%. It's an operating system.
Yeah, right. It could say Microsoft or Google or Complete Automotive or Neely or Barrett or whatever. But you put the tools in your toolbox. You don't put them in Gino's toolbox.
No.
You don't put them in anybody else's toolbox. You put them in your toolbox.
EOS is Snap-on, right? Like, right. You want to make it down to the ground. We're like Snap-on. I don't promote Snap-on. I don't know. We just come in and here's your tools. You do it. Mm-hmm. And we train you on those tools different from Snap-on. They're going to train you on how to use an impact wrench, right? From my perspective, if you guys know my background, I uprooted my whole life to become an implementer because when I read that book and I saw what it does and I replaced my whole business model with EOS, I couldn't not because I'm like, no, this is the right thing to do. And so now it's enriched. I live my EOS life and this book right here, the EOS Life, like it's your next read. If you don't want to read Traction, fine. Read EOS Life, see what it looks like, the vision of the EOS Life. You will want to read Traction after you read this book. Any 10 people who want this book, give me their names. I'll send it to them that's listening.
Wow, how nice. It's the way forward. I can't help but think about culture. In many cases, we know we need it, but we don't know how to get it. And it seems to me that EOS is the foundational building block of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it encompasses that. It encompasses culture. It's part of it, right? It's part of one of the six key components, right? And we talk about culture. It's also that it sauce, that quintessence, the stuff, again, you can't define, right? About getting people to gel and row in the same direction for a common cause and a common good. And again, the tools in this toolbox get you to that point with the culture, right? That is one major facet. And again, these are foundational tools, right, that allow you to do that.
I like a great meat sauce, but I've never had an it sauce before.
Can't be defined.
That's good. That's good.
This was great. I know that we kind of, again, for, you know, as if you will, the I don't know if this is the eighth or the ninth episode that we've done on EOS, but no doubt we've pushed people's think. We've been able to show some incredible success, Barry, with your leadership behind these guys. They're just normal, everyday shop owners who have said, listen, I knew how to fix cars. I love to do that. I had to drag my butt up into this role that I have now eventually. And my people are doing all the work and we're growing and we're making money. And who would have thought?
By the way, Chris Cotton did a great
Didn't he?
Chapter one through three, yeah. On rocket fuel. Tell him, you talk to him, be like, man, fantastic job.
I will. Yeah. You know, Chris is part of the Aftermarket Radio Network, the Chris Cotton Blitz, the weekly Blitz. And he did that. They were like 50 minutes each. He took the book, split it in half, and he covered it. And, you know, You got a standing invitation. Let's come back when we can, you know, take this again to the next level. And I so appreciate you guys doing this. It's something I've wanted to do. It was the 2-day episode from the EOS panel. Barry Barrett, Carl Hutchinson, AJ Neely, and Justin Barrett. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.